Before we open God's word together, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thee in this morning, this beautiful morning that thou hast provided, beautiful day of rest, a day to behold thy beautiful face and the beautiful word that is before us. We pray that thou would fill our hearts with the joy for the opportunity to gather together with one another and with thy word, for thy instruction and for thy direction, O Lord. And we pray thy Spirit's guidance and wisdom to be imparted to each and every one of our hearts, that we might hear and know thy truth, and thy truth would speak to us and grant us the guidance and light for our path, and that we might follow thee in a true faith and love. We thank thee for all that thou hast done for us, and would pray thy blessing upon thy word in this place, and wherever it is preached in spirit and in truth, may it go forth in its simplicity and speak to the hearts of men and thy children everywhere. So we pray for thy blessing and ask that thou would be with us through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to the book of Acts, read from chapter 16. I'd like to begin with verse 11.
Brati naša da se čita iz dela svetih apostola iz 16. glave, početak čitanja je 11. stihu. Dela svetih apostola 16. glava od 11. stiha i nadalje.
Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down, and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee to come in. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Read to the conclusion of the chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer.
Our great God, our Father in heaven, at this moment, Father, we come before thee as a congregation, as a body of believers, and ask thee that thou wouldst be gracious to us and that thou wouldst hear our prayer as we would come before thee. Father, we have no great words to come before thee with. Father, thou dost know our hearts, each and every one. And so, Father, we would simply just have an expression of gratitude towards thee and of worship towards thee for all the things that thou hast done and thus that thou dost continue to do for each and every one of us. And so, Father, we laud thy name. We give thee the honor and the glory that is due unto thee, for thou art from everlasting to everlasting, and there is none beside. And so we worship thee, Father. We worship thee this day in spirit and in truth, magnifying thy name for all the things that thou dost do. Father, we know that our next breath is in thy hand. We know that our next heartbeat is in thy power. And so, Father, therefore, we are reliant upon thee. And Father, we are thankful for that because we know thee to be a good and kind and loving Heavenly Father who desires to give life, and not only life, but an abundant life, and many blessings and gifts along the way. And so we give thee thanks for the gifts of grace that thou dost bestow upon us each and every day. We thank thee, Lord, that thy mercies are new every morning. We thank thee, Lord, that we can open thy word and find comfort and peace and direction and all our necessity for this life. And so, Father, we just give thee the thanks and we give thee the praise, Lord, that is due unto thee. Blessed be thy name. Lord, we bless and magnify thee for all that thou dost do. And so, Father, in this day, as we gather ourselves together in thy house, our prayer is, Lord, that thou wouldst bless each and every one. Father, we all have different circumstances of life. We are in different places, Father, but thou dost know all things. Lord, all things are open and naked with whom we have to do with thee. Father, and so we just thank thee for that. And, Lord, we just pray thee that thou wouldst help us, each and every one, wherever we are at in life. Father, Lord, we pray thee, Lord, that thou wouldst give strength, Lord, to those who are feeling weak. Lord, that thou wouldst give companionship to those who are lonely. Lord, that thou wouldst give direction to those who are lost. Father, that thou wouldst be all things to all people. And Father, we would render unto thee our thanks even in advance, Lord, as we experience these things in our lives. And Father, our faith grows, Lord, as we see that thou dost provide for us our every need. Lord, and we can see, Lord, that through that experience of that thou hast provided when we knew that we had nothing of our own to be able to provide, Father, that thou hast provided, and by that our faith has grown. We have come to love thee and to trust thee more and more, and to have confidence that thou in thy way will provide for each and every one of us. And so, Father, we pray as a congregation, Lord, that thou wilt bless us each and every one. Father, we pray thee that thou wilt help those who are in physical pain, Lord, that thou wilt be with them. Father, that those who are in emotional pain, that thou wilt be with them. Those with whom Satan is trying to deceive, Father, we pray thee, Lord, that thou wilt give a renewal of a steadfast faith to those to whom Satan is trying to deceive. Father, we just pray thee that thou wilt provide for each and every one that is gathered here. Father, we see, Lord, that the time is coming, Lord, when thou wilt send thy Son here below upon this earth to gather all those who are thine own. And Satan knows he has but a short time. And we know that he is trying desperately to deceive even the very elect. And so, Father, we know that he causes doubt. He causes us to lose faith and confidence in thee. He causes our love to wax cold. Father, he wants nothing more but to destroy. And he doesn't care, Father, if it's this way or that way, Father, but he just wants to destroy. Help us, O God, to keep our eyes upon thee, to have faith in thee, to trust in thee, to love thee, to serve thee, to know that we are a part of something that is bigger than that of ourselves. Father, help us to labor in thy kingdom. Help us to be thy children. Help us not to be lazy or lukewarm. Help us to be diligent, to be found faithful unto thee, to fulfill the responsibilities that thou hast placed upon us, each and every one. Father, help us to this end. We can't do it of ourselves, Father. We need thy strength. We need thy grace. We need thy favor. Help us, each and every one. We rely upon thee, dear Father, and so that we pray thee that thou wouldst help us, each and every one. So, Father, we just pray thee now that as we consider thy word, Father, that as Lydia's heart was opened there on the riverbank, Father, that our hearts this morning would be open as well, that we would be ready to have our hearts and our cups filled with what thy Holy Spirit would have for us, each and every one. May we be receptive. May we be as a sponge, Lord, that we would soak in what thy word would have us of the water of life. And so we pray for our brothers, Lord, that as they would speak forth thy word, Lord, that thou wouldst grant them grace. Grant them, Lord, that they might be in the Spirit and that they would reveal what thy Spirit has laid upon their hearts, Lord, to share with us as a congregation. And so, Father, again, we simply look to thee for all things and just pray thee, Lord, that thou wouldst be with each and every one. Sunday school, those who are unconverted, and each and every sister and brother. Father, may it be all to thy honor and to thy glory in thy way, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, ones, before us is a passage of scripture, an account the life of the Apostle Paul as he was on his missionary journey. And it contains accounts of Lydia and this prison guard and Apostle Paul and Silas and the people that they had met. And most of all, it contains what the Lord was doing in their lives. Our Savior came upon this earth as a lowly man and a servant and served and gave his all, gave his life and shed his precious blood. And he ascended unto the Father. And Luke records in the beginning of Acts that he had written his gospel to record the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And the book of the Acts of the Apostles teaches us what he, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, continued to do and to teach through the apostles, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We see Paul and Silas here serving the Lord. And I believe if they could stand before us today, they would want to draw attention to the truth that none of this would have been possible had it not been for the Savior, had it not been for Jesus Christ. What deliverance could Paul and Silas have possibly preached to Lydia. If it had not been for Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood and who was put in that stone-cold tomb and was raised and was victorious, what deliverance could there be from a prison cell? But that it reflected the truth of the deliverance that Jesus Christ provides in his resurrection, in his victory over death. When we read the book of Acts and see the life, see the service, see the miracles, do we ponder? Do we consider? Do we desire with greater appreciation to consider that Jesus Christ is responsible for that? And then also, when we consider our past week or past life and the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us and the many blessings for which we can be thankful, though they come with pain and with trials and difficulties, do we remember those times of deliverance? Do we trust and believe that the trials and the temptations have their perfect place and a reason within God's plan, and Jesus Christ is working that out perfectly? Apostle Paul and Silas, I believe, based on the testimony that they give here of their actions when they were bound, were fully trusting and fully confident that the Lord would provide deliverance in his time. And that's not because they had some wonderful revelation of from the Lord at this instant, but I believe it's something that's been developing and growing in their lives. As we read in previous chapters, how the Lord had separated them to the service. Lord had called them. And they had desire to preach the word. They had desire to go abroad and share the word and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who would listen. And they had desire to go to many cities in Asia Minor. But the scripture teaches us that the Spirit hindered them. They didn't permit them to go. But they had an opportunity to go into Macedonia. And Philippi was the city of Macedonia that they came to. So here's this open door that was given to them, provided for the Lord. They were working, they were serving, and seeking the open doors that the Lord had provided. Oftentimes we think of the roadblocks that are in our ways and wonder, how is the Lord going to provide? And when we find an open door, we think, wonderful, this is great, everything's just going to go so smoothly. It's not how it happened for Paul and Silas. It began very wonderful, a beautiful account of an open heart and those who were, it says that there was a place where prayer was wont to be made. Prayer was known to be made at this quiet place along this riverside, probably far away from the city perhaps, where they could have some quietness, where they could ponder the things of God, ponder the word, share with each other their struggles and their burdens. How blessed it is to have a place of quietness where we can think, where the word can be open to us, where we can pray, where we can worship together. We can be refreshed. We've come to be refreshed. We've come to hear the word. We've come to pray together. We've come to have a moment of quietness so that the Lord could speak to us. We could hear his voice. We could be guided by him. And Lydia, no doubt, had many times of a blessing having come to this spot. But this time, Apostle Paul came and brought the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of truth and salvation through his name. And it says that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. She heard, and she focused her attention on the word and the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. the message of hope that it had brought, the message of forgiveness of sins, the message of the servant who came, who washed the feet of his disciples, who laid down his life when it could have easily been any of the others that could have died for their faith and their testimony. Jesus Christ, he went willingly. He died in their place. And so she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. She gave attendance to it. She focused on it. She listened to it. She paid attention to it. Perhaps she asked questions about it. Doesn't say. But the end result was that she was thoroughly convinced and she thoroughly believed. And she was so filled with that faith that that faith became action. And she was baptized and her household. And we see some fruits of that spirit that was working with her, of that love that she has for the brethren, of that faith that she had in the Lord, of the kindness that was working within her heart, that she was desiring to be hospitable to these teachers that had come. If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. It was the love of Jesus Christ that was at work in her heart that moved her to make this request and express this fruit of the Spirit of love and hospitality, of kindness and help. This is what happens when we attend unto the word of the Lord. It has fruits. It bears love and faith and a desire to be with one another, to help one another, to encourage one another. And so they continued with her, and they continued meeting at this place of prayer, and a damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met them and brought a testimony of their work, and she said things that were accurate, but she said so by a spirit of divination, a spirit of the devil. And this grieved Paul, because he did not need a devil to make a testimony, to be convincing. And so he commanded through the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come out of her. And this became a great, this greatly bothered the people of the city, because they had used this young lady and this, her circumstance, for their own personal gain. They had hoped that by using this young lady, who in her own way was in a prison, who in her own way was bound by the Spirit, that they could gain something by it. They had hoped that through fear and coercion, they could take a young person and use it and manipulate that for their own benefit. Those of us who are parents and think of children, how tender they are and how precious they are. It must make our hearts sad when we think this was somebody's daughter. And the masters of the day hope to make some gains through that. And we're happy to keep them in prison. We're happy to keep her in this bond. And when she was freed, rather than rejoicing for that, they worried about themselves. And so they wanted to get back at Paul and Silas for what they had done. They didn't really complain about the teaching that Paul had or Silas had. There was no specific teaching about Jesus Christ in particular that they were at odds to, but when they realized that it was bad for business, then the teeth came out. Then they became furious in their anger. And the heathen began to rage, and imagine a vain thing that they could bind the Word of God. And so they began their process of seeking to push down the Word of God and its teachers, and stirring up the multitude to rise up against them, and making the magistrates so overcome with fury and anger that they rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And it looked like their mission was starting to gain some momentum and that they were making progress. But they laid many stripes on them, cast them into prison, and then spoke to the prison guard, "Send them into prison and secure them in the stocks." And so he did. He received such a charge, such an urgent and serious charge, that he really took his duty seriously and made sure that they were locked in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks so that they could not get away. But Paul and Silas, all along, had been following the Lord. They'd been following his direction and his guidance. And so at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. There are many prisoners to Satan and to sin in our world. We should be encouraged to take this example of Paul and Silas, who follow Jesus Christ, follow the commands and the teachings and the opportunities that we're given to serve. And when we face an hour of temptation, when we find a season when it is not so easy or convenient to worship and praise, that we would nonetheless do that. Be in prayer, sing praises unto God, and those that are in prison will hear. Those that are around us will hear and take notice. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. This is the work of the Lord. The timing was perfect, that the earthquake had come, the foundations of the prison were shaken, and just comes to mind the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has bound Satan and shakes the foundations of his prison that he desires to put men in, and opens the doors and makes it possible for them to come out. In this instance, Paul and Silas the doors were opened, but it was not for their freedom. They didn't get freed by this earthquake. The doors were opened, and the Lord opened another opportunity for them to serve. The prison guard that was there, this is the opportunity for freedom for the one who was outside of those prison walls, the one who needed to hear the message. He trembled and feared, thinking that all of the prisoners had escaped, and that he would be held responsible for it, and that he would certainly be executed for his inattention to detail. And he trembled, and he took out his sword. And just think of what end this man came to. How quickly he was in control and in charge of his life and his actions, and how he could have easily thrown somebody into an inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks, and now things changed. And again, he thinks he has in mind, "I have a solution, and I know how to get out of this problem." He takes out his sword and turns it on himself, and comes so close, within an inch of taking his life, and the word comes to him. A word of hope. A word from the teacher that was bringing the message of Jesus Christ. He said, "Do thyself no harm." Remember when the prophets of Baal were hoping for Baal to bring fire down on their sacrifice? They were hoping to prove Elijah wrong. that Baal could bring fire. And they were trying with all their might and every resource they had. They tried with their greatest wisdom and their most talented and zealous worshipers. And they began cutting themselves. And Satan was looking there smiling. He loves to see men destroyed, men hurting themselves, and men taking into their own hands how to deal with their fear, how to deal with their frustration, how to deal with the hopelessness that comes with sin. But Paul said to the man, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." All of the prisoners heard the singing and the praying, and they all stayed too. And the prison guard came in trembling. He came in fearful, but also in great expectation that he had to ask a question. He had to find out if he would do himself no harm, how could he possibly find a way of escape? The lesson that the jailer needed to learn was to put his trust and faith in the Lord. We see later that the very next morning, the magistrates said, "Let them go." The prison guard had nothing to worry about. The earthquake was for the prison guard to have the opportunity to hear the message of Jesus Christ, his salvation, and how it can be that he can be saved, that he could have that word imparted to him and that he could receive it and that he could begin bearing fruits, washing the stripes, being baptized, sharing meat, breaking bread with one who he had previously sought to injure and secure in the inner prison and bind up their feet. It was for him. And the Lord was at work in the earthquake, which was a benefit to this prison guard. But the Lord was also at work in the hearts of the magistrates. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think that that earthquake was, that's God's real power. Wow, he brought that earthquake and shook those foundations. And yes, he did. He absolutely did. He absolutely intervened. But it's also a miracle of the Lord that those men who were ripping their clothes the day before would turn around and seemingly inexplicably say, "Let them go." The Lord has provided so much good for us. The Lord Jesus himself has come out of death's prison. He could not be held by it. And we are actually in this same situation as Paul and Silas. We are remembering the works of the Lord, those who are God's children. We're seeking to serve where he leads. And brothers and sisters, it's midnight now. The time is short. There are prisoners who need to hear. May we be occupied with praying and singing praises to God. May we be occupied with simply trusting that the Lord will reveal all truth in his time. And he will get the credit for it. All things will be made right. And the magistrates will see their error. They will have to bring them out. They'll have to desire them to depart out of the city, as it says. Paul and Silas, seems like they did very little. And truly, all good, all blessings, all work that needed to be done for the kingdom of God in the life of this prison guard, in the life of Paul and Silas, could be credited and thanked to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's midnight, and Paul and Silas are praying, singing praises to God. the prisoners heard them. Time is short. The Lord will do his work in time to save. We must be occupying till he comes. We must have a testimony that the Lord will find faith, will find trust, will find confidence that he will work all things together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. We see that Paul and Silas were, their stripes were washed, they were baptized, they had baptized, and they were granted deliverance from the prison, and they went out of the prison. These times of trial that are given in the book of Acts for our encouragement and the strengthening of our faith, we see that they are seasons. And even our life is a season. Even this flesh is somewhat of a prison. It's a temporary home. And in it we experience days of gladness and days of sorrow. We experience trials and difficulties. We experience times when we feel constrained and held back. But that too is only for a season. There is a deliverance that will come. There is a hope of eternal life. There is a hope that we will put off this earthly tabernacle and take on a new resurrection body and dwell with the Lord in eternity forever. Let's have the hope of Jesus Christ, of his resurrection. Let's have the hope of the gospel deeply embedded within our hearts. Let's have the thankfulness and appreciation and reliance that turns to the Lord in prayer and worships the Lord for his goodness, remembering his great kindness to us. Now let's take every opportunity, as it says, they left the prison. They could have run as quickly as they could and said, "These people don't appreciate us." But they went and they entered into the house of Lydia. What a precious fellowship they had with those that were in prayer for the Lord to work. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. May we receive the comfort of the Lord, and may we receive the encouragement, the urging, the exhortation to continue in the work that the Lord has called us to do. May God bless his word to our hearts. Amen.
During this morning's reading, who had freedom and who did not have freedom? It was clear that Lydia, Paul, and Silas, they had freedom. Though for a time Paul and Silas were in a prison, yet they had freedom because they knew the Lord. They had freedom. But it's also clear that the damsel, her masters, the magistrates, and initially the keeper of the prison, they did not have freedom. They were in the prison house of sin. And so we see that what frees us from sin and what allows us to have freedom is what Paul said here in verse number 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. This is how we'll have freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from condemnation. Jesus also said that what makes us free is truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth." If we continue in his word, we shall know the truth, and that truth shall make us free. That truth of Jesus Christ made Lydia, Paul, and Silas free. But if we commit sin, we are the slaves of sin, the Bible says. We are the servants. We are the slaves of sin. If we commit sin, if we don't have Jesus in our hearts and our lives, we're encapsulated, we're captured. And we are the slaves of sin. That drives us, that motivates us, and we know nothing else. But Jesus came to make us free. And so Jesus says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We can be free in Jesus Christ. Jesus says that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And he's going to take Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit. And all freedom then from sin and from death will be gone. Well, there will be freedom from all of that. So may God grant unto us that grace to know that the truth is in Jesus Christ. And through him, we can be free. Free from condemnation and free from sin and abide in the light. Amen.